My name is Ian O'Neill, and this is How They Did It, a podcast where we learn filmmaking from those who've gone before us. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to How They Did It, a podcast for indie filmmakers, especially those just starting out looking to make their very first film. Although anyone at any level can listen and learn. This week I'm joined by amazing filmmaker Maureen Maloney. I urge you to subscribe to her web series, Girl Aspiring, a documentary-style series focusing on the success of women in the workforce. It's essential viewing for any parent with young children, especially girls. Maureen is also hard at work on her first full-length documentary, Voice of Vanilla, where she explores the difficult and dangerous process of vanilla cultivation in Madagascar through the eyes of the women who grow it. Further to that, she now hosts a podcast on her documentary journey called, appropriately methinks, My Doc Journey. I'll have links to everything I mentioned in the show notes, so don't panic. So, welcome to the show, Maureen.
Hi, Ian.
Oh, it is so good to meet you.
It is good to meet you as well.
Listen, I understand, at least as I understand it, you didn't start out as a filmmaker and you took a very interesting route to where you are now.
Yeah, no, I actually started out as a biologist. although I have to say that I always loved both art and science growing up, and I got really into photography in high school, but ultimately decided to, pursue biology because I thought I was going to do research that was going to save the world. Well, and it was while doing that research that I realized that, most of that research ends up published in journals, which is where data goes to die and no one ever learns about it.
That sounds horrible.
I decided to become a science communicator, and then I met someone who was making a documentary, and I thought, oh my gosh, that is it. That's the thing that I need to do.
So you were helping on somebody else's documentary, or you just talked to somebody about their documentary?
I did actually end up helping her a little bit on it. It was another grad student at the time in a different program, and she was doing a documentary on food justice issues. It's called Greening the Revolution. And just meeting another person like me who was making a documentary, and I've always loved documentaries, especially at the time. A bunch of great ones had come out. It was like Blackfish and just a bunch of great documentaries. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is just a great way to get information out to a wider audience in a really entertaining, enjoyable fashion,
And it can change the world.
Absolutely.
See, so you, in a way, you've found a way to do what you set out to do.
Yes, exactly.
There you go. Well, what was the reaction of your family and friends to your decision to be a filmmaker?
Surprisingly, they were so incredibly supportive because I had, been studying biology for a long time at this point, and then to suddenly sort of make a move. But I took a digital filmmaking boot camp class, and I just instantly fell in love with it. And my mom actually helped me buy my first camera, which was just a little Sony Handycam.
Yeah,
but it was a big show of support on her part.
Hey, listen, don't knock the camera that you started with, because listen, on my show, I have preached this from the rafters, from the rooftops. Whatever camera you have is the right camera to use.
Yeah.
Get started. Do what you've done. Hang on a second. I'm just going to make a note here. So give people a short description of the series Girl Aspiring. Why did you decide to make that a series and not just do one-offs?
Yeah, well, that really the original motivation for that came a long time ago when I was in college and I was working as a science educator at the Museum of Science and Industry. I was taking a lot of groups out on these sort of science adventures, hiking and kayaking and things like that. And a lot of the groups I was taking out were Girl Scouts.
Wow.
And they were just so excited to have a girl teaching them science and taking them on adventures. And because they never saw girl scientists on television, you know, and at that time there was a lot of really great shows on like Discovery and Animal Planet and stuff with Steve Irwin and Jeff Corwin, but no women. And now, I mean, that was, 20 years ago almost. And it's the situation has not gotten better. And it occurred to me, well, now I have the power to make my own media and to put it out there. And so why not do it? So we expanded it, of course, beyond just scientists into women in all different kinds of careers, particularly careers where you don't necessarily see women a lot. And I just wanted to show women doing a variety of things.
You know, so that's sorry.
The series, really, yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know what, I speaking as a father who was a single parent of a girl, you mentioned those shows that we used to watch all the time. Yeah. I tried to introduce my daughter to as many women in whatever roles I could possibly do. In my career as a writer, I was a freelance writer, and I got to go behind the scenes of museums and race cars and any woman I could find, I put her in front of that woman. Look what you can do. So what you're doing is so important. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
So when you shot that Girl Aspiring, did you use the camera your mom gave you?
No, I'm glad to say, although that camera did get me through a lot of great videos. I made tons and tons of videos with that camera. I now am using another Sony. I'm using the Sony A7.
Oh, the A7.
Yeah.
Which I loved. Again, the right camera for you is the camera you're using.
Absolutely.
Just whatever you got, guys, use it. It's fantastic. A7's great. Whatever you can find, even if it's your camera phone, just get out there and make stuff. We want to see it. It can make a difference.
I mean, camera phones are doing great video.
Yeah, tell me about it. That's amazing. There's been movies filmed on cameras, right? So Girl Aspiring wasn't your first foray into filmmaking?
No, it's been a long time that I've just been, well, at first I was just making a lot of videos, travel video type things, just to practice and learn. And I started getting into making films for documentaries, making short documentaries for nonprofits.
Right.
And, just usually 3 to 5 minute films to show what different nonprofits were doing. So I did a few of those. And then I actually had a few short films that I put through the festival circuit.
Oh, wow. How'd you do?
I did pretty well, actually.
Good for you.
I got a few awards.
Good for you. That's amazing. Well, you know what? It sounds to me like you did this the right way. Like you cut your teeth. You practiced. And that's really important, is that you just keep shooting.
Yes.
It's a little bit like Dory the fish. Just keep swimming while you just keep shooting.
Yeah.
And you'll accomplish. So for Girl Aspiring, you sourced the subjects, you wrote the scripts, shot and did sound for those episodes. You were basically a one-woman show. But did you also go out and raise funds to shoot the series?
Yeah, so I did get a little bit of help because I'm an instructor at the Colorado Film School. So I did have some a volunteer help from my students occasionally. but a lot of it I did shoot and edit and all of the sound and everything myself. I had been working as a freelance videographer for a few years, so I've had a lot of my own equipment for that. So I really didn't do any fundraising to start out with because I just wanted to get out there and start doing it. And but for the future, for season 2, I do plan to go out and get some sponsors and things like that because it is a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
And I did it while teaching and while working other jobs. So I did get a little burnt out. And by the end, I had this great goal of shooting 10 episodes for season 1. And by episode 5, I was just like, I need a break. I can't do any more right now.
I totally don't blame you. People don't realize how much work goes into these things. Even a 5-10 minute video is a ton of work.
Yes.
You know, so I listen. And when you add to that, you're doing the editing. You've done everything yourself, mostly everything yourself, except instructing. How did that come about? Did someone approach you, or did you go and say, "Hey, I can help people"?
Yeah, actually, someone did approach me. I'm a part of a local group called Women in Film and Media, Colorado, which is part of the National Women in Film Group. And someone that I knew through that organization approached me. She knew that they were going to be hiring instructors at the Colorado Film School, and that they had the goal of having more women instructors because there was a very low number.
Exactly.
And I had taught before. Actually, I used to teach biology at Northern Arizona University. And so, you know, I felt pretty good about at least my teaching skills. I'm kind of a natural teacher. It's sort of what I've always done in one way or another. And so I started doing that.
Does that translate into being a documentarian?
My teaching skills?
Yeah, your teaching skills.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it was a big part of the motivation. Although I always tell people, and part of my learning process has become transitioning to being a storyteller. Because, you know, as a teacher, especially in a university, you don't tend to think of yourself as a storyteller.
Right.
You tend to think of yourself as a person who has to impart knowledge and facts and data onto your students, but you can't really make a good film that way, right? You have to tell a good story. And I've seen so many people try to make films that way. There's a lot of them out there, but they just don't have impact, right?
Right.
You know, they just don't really touch people the way that a good story does.
Exactly. So when you're putting this together, girl aspiring, do you write it beforehand, or do you sit down with the subject and talk to them first and then kind of flesh out the story?
Yeah, I mean, I do, because I have very specific goals really for all of my projects, but, you know, I can say for Girl Aspiring in particular, I want to show what it's really like to have that kind of job, you know, a typical day in the life. But I also want to get an idea of what the path was that they took to get there. Because, you know, people's career paths are very windy, and I think it's important to talk about that. You know, a lot of times you just get the impression that people get out of college and jump right into their dream job. And, you know, there's a whole period there after college where we're all just sort of lost, and no one talks about that. I have a clear vision of what I want to accomplish in each episode. I do sit down with the person beforehand to talk about the answers that I have to their questions, or to these questions.
Yeah.
And then we film, and I try to get as much footage as I can that is them doing their thing.
Yeah.
Right. And then I do the interview separately, in which I answer the questions knowing the answers already.
Right. Well, that again, that makes sense now. That's how you put it together. And so we're moving on now. And there seems to be a pretty big leap from Girl Aspiring to Voice of Vanilla. And if you could just describe what the origin of Voice of Vanilla was, how that came about.
Well, 10 years ago, I was a Peace Corps volunteer in Madagascar.
Okay, hang on a second. So let's just take a score. You're a biology teacher, you do freelance filming, and then you want to go into the Peace Corps.
Yes.
Wow, you have done a lot. Congratulations, that's amazing.
Thank you. Well, you know, that's where my filmmaking focus really took its turn, from being very science focused to being more human story focused. You know, it was there that I really experienced for myself the universality of some stories, of human stories. Right. I don't know if universality is a word, but at any rate.
No, universality is perfect. That's perfect.
It's true. You know, the basic thing is at our core, while there are, you know, surface differences between people, at our core, people really are the same. And I think that if more people understood that, then so many problems would cease to occur because people would care about other people.
Hallelujah.
That's my hypothesis anyway.
You know what? I think it's a good one. I really do. Well, no, I do. It just, it makes sense because if you show people doing the same thing in different parts of the world and having the same struggles, and the, like, people are people no matter where they are.
Yes.
That's, yeah, that's so important and impactful.
Yes.
And universal.
Yes.
So there you go. So here you are, you're overseas, mm-hmm, with the Peace Corps.
I totally fall in love with Madagascar and the culture and people there. And I eventually come back to the States and people say things to me like, oh, there are people live in Madagascar. I didn't realize there were people there.
Oh my God.
Just animals.
And yikes.
So I thought, oh, I should go back and I should make a documentary, some kind of documentary about Madagascar. And there really are so many things that I could have, you know, filmed, because there's a lot going on there in Madagascar. It's a fairly small place, although it's a large island,
yeah,
but there's all sorts of things going on and that really relate back to larger issues happening in the world, like climate change, for instance, like women's rights, things like that. And so I, like I said, I wanted to figure out a really good story that people would relate to. And it took me a while to also kind of develop my filmmaking chops, as right, you say, like cut my teeth on, yeah, all these other videos so that I could do something really good.
Something
and
bigger.
I finally felt like I was at that place with to make Voice of Vanilla.
So Voice of Vanilla, give us a description of what this is about, or it's going to be about.
It is going to be about women vanilla farmers and the struggles that they face, you know, as a result of climate change, which I mentioned,
yep,
discrimination, and some of the other things, the other issues around vanilla, because it's, you know, it's, we call vanilla boring, but actually vanilla is this really intense, difficult to grow crop that is critical to so many people around the world.
Wow. Wow. And you're going back there, I understand.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, that raises the question about funding.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of funding do you have for it?
Yeah. Well, so far I have some donations that are supporting the film. I have some of my own personal funds at this point supporting the film.
Yeah.
I'm really just starting to gain momentum as far as fundraising goes. And this is something that I'm really learning as I go.
Oh, as am I.
There's a lot of books out there. And this kind of goes back to kind of why I'm starting my podcast, because, you know, there's a lot of books out there and they have very abstract ideas of what you should do. But what does that really look like when you're going out there and doing it, and you know, how long does it take? And
oh, yeah,
maybe other people will be able to jump into fundraising more quickly than I and be more successful at it. But it is something that I'm learning at, and I can at least say that I'm getting better and better at it.
So are you going to private investors?
I am going to private investors, corporate sponsors.
Right.
The thing that I'm really focusing on right now, because it kind of kills two birds with one stone, if you will, is fundraising events,
right,
where I can get people to come and they can learn about the film. And that way, you know, I'm raising awareness, I'm building the community around the film at the same time as I'm fundraising.
Right. So have you decided that you'll take any amount, or do you say share is going to be worth this much?
I do have, like, I have a sponsorship,
right,
sponsorship levels, and things like that, so that people can, you know, come in at different levels with specific amounts.
Hey, don't be shy. Say what the amounts are, because people might be listening that want to give money.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, at this point, I have my highest amount, and I should, like, have this pulled up, but, like, $50,000, and you're able to get a full screen sort of thank you logo on the film.
Beautiful.
You get your logo on the DVDs and posters, on the website, sort of premiere at a premiere location on the website.
Right.
Marketing materials, having your products at the events, tickets to the ultimate, you know, screening, you know, the film premiere.
Absolutely.
Things like that. And then it kind of goes down from
there.
It just
goes down from that point. Yeah. And then anybody who goes to the event off the street who wants to help, how are you making it for them to help?
Yeah. So right now I am fiscally sponsored through From the Heart Productions.
Right.
I'm sure you're aware of. So there is a donation page with them that anybody can go and donate through. And then also at the events that I'm hosting, you know, there's, like, for instance, my first event is October 23rd. Ooh. In Boulder, Colorado at Vapor Distillery. And people just come in and have drinks, and a portion of the profit of the cocktails goes to the film. So
that's fantastic.
All you have to do is drink and you can support the film.
So say it again. Where is it?
That is at Vapor Distillery in Boulder, Colorado, and it's going to be October 23rd.
Oh, man. So show up, have a couple of drinks, and help this young lady get her movie made. Simple as that.
Yeah.
That's it. So from the inception, from the idea, when you're over there in Madagascar seeing all these ridiculous things that are going on and you want to change, until right now, what's it been like for you? What's the struggle been like for you to get that film off the ground?
Oh, yeah. Well, from 10 years ago when I was a Peace Corps volunteer, and that was really when I was first starting to learn how to become a filmmaker, it was a process, obviously, of teaching myself editing and cinematography and things like that. But then from there, it took me a while to figure out how does one become a filmmaker? Like, what are the steps? It might seem kind of strange now because we have so many podcasts and all kinds of information out there on it, but it really took me a while. What ultimately I had to do was find my community, find mentors. And again, like, mentors, having people to look up to and guide you is so important, especially for young women.
Wow.
I was really lucky that this group, Women in Film and Media Colorado, started, and that is how I finally started really figuring out what my next steps were going to be, because I had mentors to help me through that process.
That's fantastic. And it got you where you are right now.
Yeah, really.
That's absolutely brilliant. So have you considered what you'll do with the film after you're finished? Is it festivals? Are you hoping for distribution? Like, what is it? Do you have a plan?
I have ideas. This is a big thing. Whenever you apply for grants, they want to know your distribution strategy, right? And you know, as a first-time filmmaker, you're like, I have no idea. But I do know this. This isn't just a passion project for me, like, oh, I just kind of want to make this film and have it out in the world. I want people to see and learn from this film.
Right.
And so building out the educational program part of it is really important to me. Right. I am going to be doing a 360 video. So I'm going to be creating VR experiences, which people will be able to view online, but also in person, especially, you know, if you can go to events where there are the really high quality VR headsets. That always, like, improves the VR experience.
Wow.
I'm going to be doing a bunch of other shorter videos with experts that people can watch. because the film itself is really going to focus on the human story. I'm not going to have like talking head interviews with experts, but right. adjacent to the film will be those sort of experts that you can listen to and learn more from.
So these are sort of aside projects that are going to help bolster the major film that you're doing.
Yes.
That's amazing. You've put a lot of thought into this.
Well, you kind of have to. I mean, really, to fill out these grant proposals.
Yeah, no kidding.
If you're doing it correctly, you're spending a lot of time thinking about this. And, you know, with distribution, of course, because I've been to different distribution panels at film festivals and stuff. And it's always, well, you know, the landscape is always changing. And which can be frustrating to hear, but I think that people should really be excited about it in a way, because you can always come up with something new and innovative. If you really take the time, like for me, I've worked at museums. So I'm thinking I can create something that can be used in museums, can be a traveling exhibit.
Wow.
But I think each person probably has some sort of unique network to themselves, to their films, if they really think about it, that they can take advantage of in a novel way.
Wow.
Make your own path, really.
Wow. And you are certainly carving your own path. These are incredible ideas.
Well, if anybody uses these ideas, I hope they email me and tell me about them. Tell me how it turned out, because I haven't done it yet.
Well, I mean, have you thought about going from classroom to classroom, maybe school to school, doing that kind of thing too?
Yeah, and that is definitely something I'd be interested in.
Yeah.
The only thing about that, you know, that I have to consider is my own time, that would prevent me from moving on to
other projects. Yeah, I can understand that. Well, not only are you willing to share that information with us today about the film, but you decided to turn your journey of filming this full feature documentary into a teaching podcast for anyone thinking of shooting a doc.
Yes.
Why did you decide to do that? As if things aren't difficult enough for you, Maureen, let's pile something else on there. But it's brilliant what you're doing.
Thank you. Well, and it's partly selfish, because I do have to get the word out about my film,
sure.
Right? That is, as a filmmaker, you can no longer just be purely a filmmaker these days. You also have to market your own film. And so, you know, really this is part of my marketing strategy, but also it's something that I wish I had, because again, like there's tons of information out there, but it's all very, abstract. It's not like, what is the practical application of all of these things? What does it look like in real life? What are the struggles, the everyday struggles that people go through? And I totally understand why most people don't do that. I mean, because it does take time, but also it is, you know, there's that element of really exposing yourself to like, what if things go horribly, horribly wrong? but I think it's worth it. Even if somehow everything did go terribly wrong, you know, if other people can learn from my mistakes and from my experience, then that's great, I think, because there needs to be more documentaries in the world. And ultimately, the goal of the podcast is to try to get more people out there making documentaries.
Oh,
even just web series.
Yeah, I think what you're doing is fantastic. And this podcast as well, it's talking about truly about the mistakes that people make or the successes that they've had. And that's that practical idea. And the more we share those, the more we share the absolute numbers, rather than, it'll be about this much and then I'm going to do. If you're sharing the numbers, your budget, your schedules, you know, that's practical information that people can say, so that's how long it takes. So that's what I need to do it. And what you're doing on your podcast is fantastic. I listen to every episode and I love listening to how you're going through the process. It's helpful to me as a filmmaker, and I'm not even doing a documentary right now, but it's helpful to know that someone else is doing that and that's how they're doing it, that there's another way to do things, that there's not just one single way to do things.
That's awesome. I'm so glad to hear
that. No, listen, thank you. I need to thank you. Part of the reason I heard about you was because of this podcast that you have. And I immediately started listening and I said, I need this woman on the show. Quickly. Quickly. So here's a big question. Do you have any advice for the first time filmmaker, documentary or otherwise?
Mm-hmm. You know, something that has helped me a lot, and I always tell my students this, it came actually from Mark Duplass, filmmaker. He wrote an article a few years ago now, and he said, don't be precious about your work. Get it out there, because you can sit there and you can tinker with things forever. You can take so long to get anything out, but then you're missing out on the other work that you could be doing, right. You know, and every time you make something, you're getting better.
Right.
And I think a lot of people do this, you know, do the tinkering just as a way to sort of protect themselves. They never have to put their thing out because it's never quote unquote finished. Right. It's never perfect. And that's, you know, don't be afraid of ridicule. Because people are going to, you know, if you're going to have haters, you're going to have haters no matter what. It's worth it just to get your work out there, create something and put it out in the world. That's why we're doing this. So don't be precious about your work.
Brilliant. Okay. So what's next? What's next in the process for you?
Well, I leave September 7th to go to Madagascar.
exciting.
Yeah. That's amazing. I'll be filming the pollination period. The vanilla flowers have to be pollinated by hand. That's what I'm going now to capture.
Wow. Well, you know, good luck on your trip. So we're down to the big three final questions that I ask every guest that's on the show. What is the biggest filmmaking mistake you ever made, and how did you overcome it?
This is a big sort of painful one that strangely enough came right at the beginning. So I had this crazy experience where right after I got my camera, a friend of mine who I was living with, she was out climbing one day and she met this photographer who was looking for a filmmaker. And she said, oh, my roommate's a filmmaker. Right. I literally had just taken a class. I had just gotten my camera. And I told him that I was very upfront. You know, I don't have any experience, but he couldn't find anybody else. He was filming a hiker. This guy had gotten the award for National Geographic Explorer of the Year. He had done a 6,000-mile hike around the U.S. And this was the grand finale of his huge hike that he had done. And so he was sponsored by some very big companies. And they wanted footage of the grand finale. He was going to hike out of the Grand Canyon. There was going to be champagne toast and all of this, right?
Oh, wow.
So I had to hike down into the Grand Canyon to hike out with them.
Oh.
And they ended up showing up late. And so we had to, like, run out of the Grand Canyon.
Oh, God.
Of course, this guy who's been hiking for months and months and months is super in shape, and I am not so much in shape as he is. Certainly not to run out of the Grand Canyon. And by the time we got to the top, I thought I was going to die. He was poking me in the butt with his trek poles to get me to move. And we get to the top, and there's the, you know, celebration. Yeah. And I thought that I was filming, but I wasn't. Either at some point my thumb had hit the record button a second time and I stopped filming and I didn't realize it. And later I was going through the footage and I realized what had happened.
Oh, oh my God. What was their reaction?
The photographer was very angry and he was not nice to me. Although I will say years later, he came back and he apologized for being so extremely mean to me. But
oh, man.
But you know what? After that, I really took a lot of time to get to know my equipment and be very aware of all the flashing lights that should or should not be going off.
Wow. Okay, so the lesson here, kids, learn your gear.
Learn your gear.
Regardless of what camera you're using, learn every button.
Every button, frontwards and backwards.
Oh, man, that was amazing. I'm sorry, but that's amazing. Wow, that's amazing. So what? I think you've covered this already, but I'm going to ask it again anyway. What is the best filmmaking advice you ever received? You received?
Definitely the Mark Duplass thing. But, you know, there's actually another thing that is not directly related to filmmaking. It actually came from Seth Godin.
Yeah.
He's another blogger and podcaster and author. He said, choose yourself. Don't wait for somebody else to pick you to do what you want to do. Choose yourself and go do it. And that actually is what I think finally really got the fire up under my butt to get out and start making like Girl Aspiring and Voice of Vanilla was, am I sitting around waiting for somebody else to choose me? Like, forget that. I choose myself.
Don't wait for permission.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. What great advice. That's fantastic advice. Okay. This is going to be a difficult question because I know there can be multiple answers. Name a film that inspired you either in life or as a filmmaker.
Oh gosh.
It's tough. It's a tough one.
So many.
So you can name three.
As a filmmaker, the film Bombay Beach.
Bombay Beach.
By Alma Harrell. It's a documentary, but it is told in very much in a narrative style. And after seeing her film, I knew that I wanted to make more narrative style films than the traditional documentary style films.
Wow. Beautiful.
It's a gorgeous, gorgeous documentary.
I have to watch this film. So, having gone through all that, what's left is where can people see Girl Aspiring?
Yeah, Girl Aspiring is on both YouTube and Facebook. So both, and you could, the YouTube channel is Girl Aspiring. The Facebook page is Girl Aspiring. So they're pretty easy to find.
And I will certainly put that into my show notes, let people know where they can go to find this. What about your podcast? Where can people listen?
Yeah, so my podcast is called My Doc Journey. And I have a website, My Doc Journey, where you can listen to it there. You can find the show notes there. You can also, it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify,
beautiful,
Stitcher, all the usual spots.
Great. So where can people find out about what you're up to next?
Yeah, so I am on Twitter. That's probably the best place to see. My Twitter handle is Maureen Lee M, MaureenLeeM. And I also have a website, MaureenLeeMaloney.com.
Oh, perfect. Maureen, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Ian. It was such a pleasure.
I'm telling you, that was fantastic. My listeners are going to learn a lot from you, and I can't thank you enough for that.
Well, I mean, I think your listeners learn a lot anyway. All the great interviews that you have on your podcast, it's just there's so many golden nuggets in there.
Thank you very much.
That's our show for today, and I can't thank you enough for spending your valuable time with me. I greatly appreciate it. I really hope that you learned something from today's episode, and just as importantly, that you enjoyed it. As always, if you have any comments or questions about the show, please stop by my Facebook page at How They Did It Podcast. I'm on Twitter at HFilmmaking and on Instagram at How They Did It Filmmaking. Please show your support for the show by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Thanks again for joining me, and I'll be back with another show next week. Until then, keep shooting.